Hey, what are you doing?
Taking your picture.
What for?
Gonna put it in the paper.
What kind of paper?
In the newspaper in Albuquerque.
My picture?
Certainly.
Honest?
Everybody wants to see how you look. And I'm gonna write a story. They'll want to know all about you. They'll be pulling for you.
How do you like that? Me in a paper.
Let's take another one, Leo.
Well, let me wipe my face first.
Hold it.
And don't say anything about those Indian spirits. I don't want anybody to think I'm scared.
Don't worry, Leo. I'm your pal.
I know. That's why I can talk to you.
Sure you can.
On the army, I was plenty scared, too. Like when my outfit landed in Italy. Only in the army, it's different. There, everybody's scared. Your barge is gonna land, you know you're gonna die, and then a guy starts singing. Soft like. Then a guy next to you starts singing. Pretty soon you're singing too. That's at Rawls and Anarillera and a brawler, brawler, suet. That's at Rawls.
So, hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damien.
And we've just had our own half an hour of bickering and decided we should start over the podcast. Oh, man. Damien, how does it feel to have a host done?
Knowing that no more workmen will come to my house is the best feeling in the world. I don't have to pretend to like these assholes. All workmen are assholes. I'll say that now to all of them to their face, because all of them think they're the best at whatever the hell it is that they're doing, and they can only find faults with everything else. So God, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with those people anymore. And the house is done too, so that's another plus. We get to move shit from one room to another room and then have an empty room, which is great. It's great. What everybody wants, right? No? All right. Oh, God. It's finally over, Douglas. It's finally over.
I'm just going to see how long the silence lasts.
By breaking the silence. See how much dead air.
I don't think that's how silence works.
Damn, I screwed up.
So Damien.
Yes.
What have you been watching?
I've watched a lot of sports. Last night I watched Jamaica lose, which is great. Because I stopped watching Jamaican football a long time ago, because I have sense. And last night I was somewhere around friends, and the friends decided to put themselves through watching Jamaica lose again. And of course, Jamaica obliged. They promptly lost in the worst way possible. And I got to laugh at people for supporting my country, which I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's a wonderful feeling watching people.
I've been doing it here in Trinidad for a long time. It's hilarious.
Watching people believe that their country is good at something they're clearly not good at is truly amazing. Last week, I finally got to watch one of the Formula One races live. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and instead of me going to my bed, I watched Sebastian Vettel cut the lead to 4, which is great. But this is a movie and TV show podcast, right? So let me pretend that I watched something. I watched the first 2 episodes of The Mob Doctor.
Oh, that show looks horrible.
It did look horrible, but it's actually a decent show.
Bullshit.
Douglas, I was as surprised as anybody else. First of all, calling something Mob Doctor is a bad idea. That is a horrendous name. It is a very descriptive name, but it is still very bad. It gained points immediately because Michael Rapaport is in it.
Yes, I saw that, but he got his ass shot.
He lives, Douglas. That's not a spoiler. He's the main bad guy, and he is alive and well. And Michael Rapaport is a Tump favorite. He doesn't come in a lot of great things, but he's pretty fun to watch. And
oh, damn it. Yes, that's right. Okay. I changed the internet over there.
So the mob doctor, what's happened is there's this lady. She's a doctor. And her life is saved by the mob. And so now she's entangled with the mob, thus making her the mob doctor. And the first two episodes, they found ways to get her entangled in mob issues. A man was shot, a girl was pregnant, and she had to come to the rescue. Now, people might ask, where does she find time in her busy doctor schedule to assist the mob? And to those people, I say, watch a TV show and stop introducing logic. The more logic you introduce, the less you like this show. Outside of all of that, the show is pretty fun. Engaging, the story they're telling is not bad at all. And again, I really thought that this was going to be absolute garbage. But it was not. Speaking of absolute garbage, though, two of our favorite TV shows from last year have returned. New Girl.
Yes.
Still bad. Two Broke Girls, still bad. But I'm still going to watch them because I think I'm retarded. I'm pretty sure I'm retarded.
There's a more important favorite TV show which has returned this past week.
The League, bitches.
I haven't seen that. And I'm not going to watch any of them until the season's over. Because why would I do that to myself? Why would I subject myself to a half an hour of The League per week when you can wait and get hours of The League back to back? You guys are stupid. I also got the chance to watch a movie that no one should ever have to watch. I sat down and I saw a little movie with Ryan Gosling called The Notebook.
Oh, damn it.
And
hold on, sir. Sir?
Yes.
You're not allowed to say bad things about The Notebook. Fine. On my podcast.
Fine. I won't say bad things about The Notebook. What I'll say bad things about is everything surrounding The Notebook. I'll say bad thing about the horrendous acting. I'll say bad things about the piss poor dialogue. I'll say bad things about the overuse of sappy ass music. I'll say bad things about the overuse of rain. I don't know why rain falls all the time in that movie.
Douglas, turn off his mic. No, turn it off.
Now, I understand
that
women...
No longer have power.
Calm down. I understand that women like this movie. I don't understand why, but I understand that they like it. And that is fine. Much like me watching Rambo, I don't expect the other sex to understand why a 150-pound man killing the whole of Korea is great. All I'll say is The Notebook has nothing for men. See, the girl that stars it, she's not that cute. So it's not even like you can look at her and go...
Wait. If I recall correctly, yes. Rachel McAdams is the girl that stars this movie. Rachel McAdams is fucking...
Fine. She has I grown like into that, but she was not then. Or however they shot it, they did a poor job of shooting it. There's nothing to watch, guys. It's not good. It's really bad. And that's about it. I watch a lot of sports. I mean, I could talk more about sports. I watch Argentina beat Uruguay. I watch a guy fly kick Theo Walcott and break his ribs.
Walcott's ribs are broken, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I watch Spain win.
That was the San Marino game?
Yeah.
That game was horrible. If you can be beaten by England of all sides,
they're the worst team in the world.
It was six goals, right?
Five. They're the worst. No, Douglas, they're literally the worst team in the world. A lot of times when you play San Marino, it ends up in double figures. But San Marino had a plan. They fly kick Walcott, and then everybody took them more serious. Walcott, to be fair, Walcott did do evil things to that wing. And so you got what you deserved. and a whole lot of... I have been watching a crazy amount of sports. The PS3 is really good at streaming sports.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. And I'm sure Damon will have the answer to this.
Yes.
I was reading somewhere that the PlayStation, the PlayStation Store, mm-hmm. I haven't looked at this directly, has some general sports on-demand streaming setup.
Yeah,
they do. Like, you see, actually, they try and advertise it too. So whenever you go to, like, your channel section, mm-hmm. it always shows you, like, a My Channels thing, and in there is hockey and football and all sorts of things. Yeah, yeah.
There's a YouTube thing, there's comedy, there's,
No, I mean like a real direct on-demand setup that I could go and say I want to watch the Man U Newcastle match, and it's there.
I'm not sure about that. I don't think it's offered on our side. I'm pretty sure over in England they get that option, but it's definitely not offered to the Americans, because I guess they assume Americans don't watch football, because they have NFL, they have hockey, they have baseball. And I don't say anything about football over there, but I'm sure England has it. I know that they have the BBC iPlayer thing for it over there. That's probably where you could watch a lot of the sports.
Okay.
It's a pretty nice system. I like it. It doesn't red ring.
The PS3 Ultra Slim or whatever it's called.
It is very ugly. The new version of the PS3 is... It's not matte, which is not a good idea, guys. Glossy equipment under your TV is always a bad idea.
And you have to move something in order to...
Right, a slot loading drive. Oh my God, I haven't seen that in years.
Oh, goodness.
I love the PS3. It's pretty good. Douglas... You have been sitting here looking at shit. Yeah. What have you seen this week?
Okay, what have I... Oh, really? Is this what I did? I need to fix that. Sorry. What I've been looking at this week is not much.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a movie that doesn't exist.
Fair enough. Thank you, Douglas.
With Grenade Echoes... And little girls driving taxi cabs, and people, and Boris the Blade. That was about, that's all I've seen.
No TV shows?
No TV shows, no nothing. Shit. All I watched this week was Taken Part 2, and it was not the retakening of of experiences.
That movie's really bad.
Yeah.
Almost as if they didn't watch the first movie kind of bad.
you know a movie's going to be bad when you realize that just add one letter, the director of your movie is one letter away from being called Megatron. The last name of this director's name, I think, is Olivier Megaton.
Megaton.
And literally, the first time I read it, I was like, wait, what? Megatron?
Man who gave us Transporter 3.
I know. I was actually kind of psyched for a second when I saw that some of his earlier stuff, but this was not good.
I kept telling you guys that the third Transporter was the worst one.
Yeah, it was the worst one, but that doesn't mean that I didn't like it.
No, I never said that. Hey. No one ever said that. This movie is really bad.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. When the first Taken came out, there were people going around saying that the movie wasn't that good, but they didn't understand what good movies were. And I was kind of hoping that that was the same thing that happened this time, but it wasn't. The internet was right. This movie's horrendous. All right, so Andrew, since Douglas has decided to come on a podcast and not watch anything, what have you seen this week?
I've seen a few things. I saw Taken 2 as well. I think I liked it a little bit more than you guys, yeah, it's bad.
No, you didn't. No, you did not like it more than we did.
Well,
impossible.
I went and I saw Frankenweenie, the new Tim Burton movie. And first of all, I went and I saw it this morning, and including myself, there were literally three people in the theater with me.
Good job.
Sorry, three people in the theater. I can't believe it. Like, last week, I went and I saw Hotel Transylvania, which I didn't talk about for good reason, right? I didn't like that movie. But that movie was jam-packed.
That's an Adam Sandler movie. I didn't realize that until about a week ago. No, not a week ago, until I went to the Taken movie. Because the trailer was in there. And I'd seen a trailer for it before, but I guess it didn't include a lot of him. And then I was like, wait a second. I know that voice. I don't know about that movie.
His movies are so bad now, they make me doubt whether or not I used to like his movies.
Zohan was good.
I'm going to...
Damien, I'll take that statement for movies in which he is involved in them being made more than he's just there to do a role.
No, I mean all his movies. the movies... Mind you, I haven't seen most of the really terrible ones, because I'm not watching the one with him and his son, or the one with him and his twin sister. I'm not watching any of that shit.
Actually, can I tell you, I saw a very small amount of... What's the name of that movie? Like, Friends Growing Old Together, or Friends by... The Lake, or Friends at
the Wrong Person.
Let's just call it Friends by the Lake.
Yeah, what, Friends by the Lake.
Honestly though, what was the name of that movie with him and Chris Grown Rock Ups. And Grown Ups?
Grown Ups.
Yeah, I watched like a small portion of it, and it surprised me because I kind of enjoyed what I saw. You see, that's the thing about Sandler. I think that he's very hit and miss, but also you have to be willing to watch that kind of comedy. It's not going to be... intelligent.
Oh, wow.
It's not going to make sense sometimes. It's just, you know, it's like this guy just sitting down and being like, all right, let's laugh, and I'm going to do stupid voices or just make corny jokes, and maybe I'll get it right, but maybe I won't. And that's the thing about Adam Sandler, which is why, you know, I love Zohan.
You're still wrong. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you say that.
But at the same
time,
I agree
wrong.
That there are a lot of movies, like Just Go With It was horrendous.
What is it?
The one with him and Jennifer...
Aniston,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Where Jennifer Aniston was his wingman.
Yeah.
That two people that Douglas loves. So, Andrew, you said you saw Frankenweenie. We know that Tim Burton can do this type of stop motion thing. He's done it successfully in the past. Is this one of his better efforts, or is it continuing the recent Tim Burton trend of going head first into the ground?
This is definitely one of his better efforts. Was surprisingly enjoyable, because I've seen the original short film, and there wasn't that much in there to begin with. It was a very simple concept, you know. Boy loves his dog. Dog dies. He brings his dog back to life. And he inserts a bit more into this film. But there's so much little touches which are kind of interesting in the fact that you see the boy in school, and all of his most of his classmates all resemble other horror. characters. You see a Frankenstein, an Igor. You see
most of his classmates all resemble
Douglas. Okay. Douglas, right. Are you an English major? No, go fuck this. Continue, Andrew.
Hi. Most of his classmates all resemble.
Thank you. Well done,
there
Andy.
We go.
Ignoring Douglas completely. In your face. In your face.
So there's a Frankenstein, there's an Igor, there's one which looks familiar, but I can't remember exactly where it comes from. even the neighbor's dog at one point turns into the wife of the bride, Frankenstein's bride. You see so many inserts of classic monster characters from Godzilla to the swamp thing, and it's so fun. I love the way the movie looks, and I don't know if it's kind of a cheat to say, but the black and white is just so beautiful, and I feel like that's what hurt people going to see this movie, because their child will look at Hotel Transylvania and see all the colors and, oh, it's silly, versus black and white Tim Burton dreary monster love. I hope more people go and watch it. I don't know what the numbers were in the States to see if people actually went to it or if this is just a thing here, but yeah, it's kind of weird. Also, talking about monster movies, I saw Dracula, the 1931 Bela Lugosi Dracula, for the very first time. And I am not a fan. There's a lot of things that go on when you're watching films from from way back when, in the fact that they were catering to a different kind of audience. And it's not so much the technological changes, because it's obvious watching a lot of movies back then that they didn't have the techniques or the tools to make films as epic as they're made today. And I'm sure that's something that someone will say in another 50 years of The Master or Lupo. But watching this movie, it felt so much like they were restricted by the structure and the detail of the original play and refused to deviate from it at all in order to make it more like a film, because the movie moved at a pace that made its, I think it's roughly around 70-minute runtime, feel like it was around 4 hours long. The story is just, it's a Dracula story, and there's nothing much. It feels like every character in that movie and every scene was all about having someone stand up and say what was happening in the movie, as opposed to having things happen in the film, which is, I think, the biggest failing of any movie today or then. It was just downright boring. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie at all. Damien, I know you're a bit more of a classic individual than Douglas. Have you ever seen the Bela Lugosi Dracula?
No.
No?
Even old horror movies are still just horror movies for me. So, no.
I finally got around to watching Ben and Kate TV show. I think Douglas has been talking about.
What do you think about that one?
In the fight for more TV shows this fall, I say between The New Normal and Ben and Kate, I'm going to vote for the Ben and Kate.
Negative.
Okay, hold on. By the way, thank you for reminding me. I'm going to backtrack here and pretend that it's my time to talk.
Of course.
And say that I have actually watched a new TV show. And that TV show is The New Normal. Mm-hmm. The intern forced me to watch not just one, but two episodes mm-hmm. of that horrid, vapid, tasteless piece of crap.
Incorrect.
That is called The New Normal.
I like it.
That show is horrible.
Love the jokes.
That show is so... what's funny about it?
It's so good.
There's nothing funny about so that show. Good. There's nothing interesting
about it.
I
wouldn't
go
that far.
I like the little girl.
No. No.
I like the fact that they mock. Like, it is an exercise in mocking every single stereotype that they can find. And that is what is good about it. Because you know the first time they put gay people on as in lead roles, you would expect them you know, to, you know, try and, you know, portray them in this light that, you know, they're just like normal people, and, you know, their trials and tribulations is not that far off from everybody. But it is clear that the writers focus on, let's make this funny first and put the gay nonsense in after. And they just went straight for jokes. Most of it is just bits. They're just making fun of absolutely everybody. And then at some point they go, I have to tell some kind of harsh shit story. And then they do that. And I enjoy that. It is clear that they're mocking everybody. That is what I enjoy most about the show. They're not trying to be. I've heard people complain that they don't know any gay people like this. And I find that amusing because no TV shows has characters that I have ever met anybody like. I can tell you, as a black person, I've never seen any black person on TV that I went, yeah, he's just like me. That, it's supposed to be a comedy. There are supposed to be characters that you can point to and laugh at. And that is what they've done, I think, very well in The New Normal. I don't know what you guys were expecting.
But clearly I wasn't really expecting anything. But I wasn't expecting that.
You didn't
that.
Find it funny?
I didn't
at
find
all?
It funny wow. at all. I laughed not
even
once.
The grandmother? You didn't find
no.
her funny?
Ellen,
I like the grandmother no. a lot.
No.
Why?
Just because she's saying racist things
yeah.
And
pretty much.
Horrible things mm-hmm. doesn't make it funny.
I'm being horrible to absolutely everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Haven't we been laughing at Chevy Chase in Community for 3 seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
and he's exactly that character. I was going to bring that up.
No, he's exactly that character, except he's funny.
Alright.
Actually, funnily enough, sidetracking even further, I don't know if you guys know this, Community has been delayed from being aired.
I was wondering what
season
happened.
4. It was supposed to start next week, but that's not happening apparently. And I saw this image go up. Dan Harmon put up this image where he was showing some texts between him and his mother. And the mother is going on like, hey, just heard Community got delayed. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's happening. They're like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. Maybe Chevy Chase fell off a ladder and they had to delay just because he's making more fun of Chevy Chase after the whole thing. And you guys don't care.
No, it's not that we don't care. That just wasn't delivered very well. What? Huh?
I found it kind of funny with all of the Chevy right. Chase things from last year,
so
but
Andrew,
whatever.
You like Ben and Kate, you don't like The New Normal.
No. Don't misunderstand.
You don't like either of them.
No. I like both. I like Ben and Kate more. But I love neither.
Okay.
Ben and Kate is kind of funny. I think I've only
kind of funny is correct.
No, it's pretty.
Kind
it's,
of funny is the correct
it's,
way
it's
to describe
very,
that comedy.
I
it's
love
the best
that
way to also describe The New Normal.
Incorrect.
No, but I love that. I love that. That is just cheap. It is cheap laughs, but it's just kind of like you sit down and you don't have to think. You don't have to do anything. You sit down and you're entertained. And a lot of shows don't do that. Some for a good reason. Some to its detriment. But you know. There's something about just sitting down and turning your mind off and laughing at somebody like falling on a banana peel, you know, which is essentially
isn't
what
that
a show
reality
is.
Reality TV, isn't that what? that we don't watch that. Please tell me none of you idiots watch that.
Nope.
Okay.
So the last thing I want to talk about is I've been rewatching a lot of James Bond recently.
I'm sorry, James Bond?
I corrected myself, sir. Calm down. I've been watching a lot of James Bond recently. Like in the last 4 days, mm-hmm. I've rewatched Dr. No, From Russia with Love, and Goldfinger.
Mm-hmm.
Goldfinger.
Thank you.
I'm reminded that From Russia with Love might just be my favorite James Bond movie.
Incorrect, sir. Shooting you down immediately.
Look. It has Robert Shaw in it.
Casino Royale is the best James Bond movie anyone has ever made.
The hottest James Bond girl.
That's a couple.
No, it is not a couple.
Because honestly,
I've seen all of them.
Wait. Let me tell you why it's a cop out.
All right.
Because
mm-hmm.
that is the first James Bond movie
right.
that was made to be a real movie. All right.
All right. So outside of that,
you have to go outside of all the right, last.
Fine. Well, no, just Casino, the one after Casino, Quantum of Solace.
I actually really like Quantum of Solace. I mean, it's definitely, of course, it's not at the same
but
level.
But yeah, that one can't compete for number one.
No, it can't.
It's not even number two. Fine. If we're discounting
mm-hmm.
Casino Royale,
mm-hmm.
I don't know which one would be second. Because the rest of them are so good.
From Russia with Love?
I know.
Probably there, From Russia
there with are Love. Quite a few in the runnings. Like, definitely GoldenEye would be up there.
Right.
Oh, I love GoldenEye.
I mean, as you said, Goldfinger is awesome, Andrew. Mm-hmm. What else is there? There's so many good James Bond movies.
Can you,
I mean,
Damien?
There's so many James Bond movies.
Watching those three movies, can you imagine a world in which, and I know this is borderline heresy to say mm-hmm. this, right? Imagine a world in which James Bond A exists and B is bisexual. There would be no wars, no conflicts of any kind, because we just send James Bond to have sex with whoever was giving trouble, and they defect, they defect to the good side. Because literally that's what happens in every movie. He goes and he bangs a woman, and suddenly she helps him in making the world a better place again.
James Bond has done just as much for women's rights as Sarah Palin, which is set it back 50 years. If you watch James Bond, you just assume that women are only alive so that they can be banged into changing their minds. It's a very simple process. If you don't agree with whatever it is, you just bang her and then she'll change her mind. It's pretty good. I don't know. Like, the James Bond... I know the James Bond that I hate the most.
Oh, which one is that?
The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
That is that the newspaper one? Just remind me.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's... yeah, that's...
Live and Let Die needs to be in the runnings just because that song is so good.
For Your Eyes Only is pretty good.
What?
For Your Eyes Only. That one's really good.
Which one is that again? For Your Eyes Only.
Scroll down. It's after Moonraker, which is definitely one of the worst ones.
Yes, Moonraker is in the running for the worst.
Drop off sense, even by James Bond standards. When you start making sense in a James Bond universe, you know you fucked up. Invisible cars and sun being a weapon.
But hold on, you realize that was a remake, right?
Yes.
And that they did that in something like, what was it, Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend or whatever? Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds Are Forever. Yeah.
Girls' Best Friend. How do you get to that? How did Jay-Z take over?
It's the Moulin Rouge in me, I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, so, Andrew, you still hate James Bond movies, correct?
I hate them completely.
All of them.
Can never like those movies.
I still want that collection though. Oh, god damn it.
The Blu-ray that just came out.
Yeah, even though there's movies that I hate, I'm still going to rewatch them because I want to watch them properly.
No, of course. Actually, Nicholas is doing something similar. So I will piggyback off of his recent acquisitions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wait for
And that's about it that I've been watching this last week.
So, between us, we've watched pretty much nothing. We've watched nothing. We've watched the worst Taken movie ever made. We've watched mediocre
I gave
TV
people
show.
Frank and Weenie.
Oh, fair enough. Right. So, Frankie Weenie. That's good. So, we've watched our movie. That's good stuff.
So this week, first trailer I want to talk about is for the new Kathryn Bigelow film, Zero Dark Thirty, which is, I'm going to use the word loosely, even though I don't think that's written down anywhere, based on the mission which America did to go and kill Osama bin Laden.
I want to make something absolutely clear. If you thought there was some working group coming to the rescue, well, I want you to know that you're wrong. This is it. There's nobody else hidden away on some other floor. There is just us. And we are failing.
Yeah, essentially this movie that you had us watch a trailer for really should have been titled Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden?
The Dead.
But that movie already exists.
Dead at the end of it.
And then it'd be like, colon, because we want to kill him. Yeah. But Andrew, you see, I'm worried, right? And let me tell you why. This is the kind of story that is told generally in cheesy, heart-wrenching movies. And immediately once I see anything like that, I get turned off. However, this trailer is great.
Yes,
and Kathryn Bigelow is directing it, and I'm pretty sure I spied a Mark Strong in there somewhere.
Yes,
so I really have no reason to not want to watch
Joel
this.
Edgerton, I think that's his name.
Yes, Edgerton is in this too. Yeah. And the girl, who's the girl? Is that Tamara Drew? Is
Jessica
that...
Chastain.
Oh, Chastain, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Yeah.
No, that is not Tamara Drew.
Okay. She kind of, mix the two of them up sometimes. I'm sorry.
Then stop it.
I'm sorry.
Who are you mixing her up with?
The Bond girl.
She was in Tamara Drew. She was in that shitty kidnapping show.
Yeah.
They drowned her in the James Bond movie.
Ava Green?
No. They drowned her in tar or in.
Her. Okay. I don't remember her name.
The latest movie. But yeah, whatever. So, yeah, this movie looks fantastic. And I am rearing to go.
What makes you so confident in this mission? Or confidence. Oh, yes. She looks very serious in this movie. There doesn't seem to be any heartwarming anything going on in this movie. This movie looks grim. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait to watch this. It comes out in Christmas because, of course, what do you want for Christmas? A movie where they shoot Bin Laden in the face. Damn right, guys. Damn right. Oh my God, this trailer looks... This trailer is what... All the trailer had to do is be intense and tell you what they're going to do, and that is what the trailer did, unlike the next trailer that we're going to talk about.
Hey, I just realized.
Andrew, I know you don't like Kathryn Bigelow because she was once married to the director of Avatar, and you hate that movie so much, you hate anybody who has ever even been in relations with the director of that movie.
She did make Hurt Locker.
Seems unfeasible, so.
But then again, she also made Near Dark, so I should hate her.
That movie is so good.
I'm sorry, what was that?
So good.
No, you said something after so that I don't good. Readily recognize. Good. Still not understanding. Is that French for something?
I have to say that I'm not a big fan of this trailer.
Can we stop doing this podcast with Andrew, please? I think he's doing it to spite us, you know, because he knows we aren't there. He can't be this bad. What more did the trailer need to do for you, Andrew? Please explain it to me. What would have made this trailer better? Directed by Steven Spielberg, what else?
Yes! Cinematography by Steven Soderbergh, starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
All right, let's be serious now. What exactly did this trailer not do, Andrew? Why don't you like this trailer?
First of all, I think the most worrying thing in this trailer for me is the final shot, When after we've gotten all his intensity, the switch to the night vision, to what you can only imagine would be them on the actual mission. I don't know, it could be something else completely. But the idea that the film is promising to go there, it can't. And even though, even going further than that, it's the idea that I don't trust this topic to be done in any way other than fuck yeah, which I feel is kind of stupid and aggravating. And seeing that final shot, I have worries that that's what I'm gonna get.
But hold on, just a quick question. Did you ever watch Team America?
Yes, and I actually stopped halfway through and I haven't watched that movie. I haven't finished it. I hated that movie.
Okay, good, because that movie is bad, but I was going to ask if you liked it. But okay, fair enough. Yeah, that movie was horrible.
But the difference, though, because, like, for example, for Team America, I remember that opening scene of them going into Paris and having that action scene, which I loved. I thought that was hilarious. Mainly because it was making fun of America. And even they have that whole song, Team America, fuck yeah, America, fuck yeah, and all that. It's hilarious. But there are some things in that movie which I just couldn't stomach. I almost feel like I should try and watch it again now and force myself through it to see if I can see everything else as funny. But
it's good. Andrew Robinson, I'm going to cut you off here because mm-hmm. rambling on. So let me get this straight. The Lincoln trailer, you're up for, right? Correct? Is that a correct factual statement that I've just made?
Yes.
Name a president that is more America, fuck yeah, than Lincoln. He is so American that they made him into a vampire hunter. Do you understand what is happening here, Andrew? You took a two-second shot of a 2.5-minute trailer and point to that and go, that might be crossing the line. That might be too much America, but bragging about being America. Which is fine. I cannot argue with that. Because if you're anti-American, which you clearly are, just for this trailer, and fine. But then you cannot turn around and go, you see that Lincoln movie? I have to see it. Because it will be great. You can't have it both ways, Andrew. Andrew Kathryn Bigelow just put out a trailer that is so grim. That the least she could do at the end of the movie is have them shoot Bin Laden in the face. Right? This won't be a fuck yeah America movie. This movie will show why it took, what was it, 11 years to kill this guy? And then right at the end, she'll go, oh yeah, we murdered him. And I can guarantee you that it won't be gratuitous. It will be more like that sniper scene in her last movie than anything else. Because having listened to, you know, interviews with her, she doesn't seem like the type. And at this point, she has so much clout. It's not like the studios could go to her and say, make it this way. Because if they could do that, then the name of this movie wouldn't be Zero Dark Thirty. It would be Shooting Bin Laden in the Face.
Subtitle, America Fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And this is coming out as counter-programming, because it's coming out in Christmas. So we'll have Django Unchained. We'll have Django and this, and then
and
a shit ton of Christmas movies. So yeah, I think you can put down your fears about this movie. Did you like the rest? Alright, outside of that last shot, did you like the rest of the trailer?
Yes, okay. I like the rest of the trailer.
Okay. Alright, fine. Douglas, I'm guaranteeing you know that Douglas likes the Hitchcock trailer.
That Andrew likes the Hitchcock
trailer. Yeah, that Andrew likes the Hitchcock trailer. Alright, Andrew Robinson. Tell us about the Hitchcock trailer.
So, apparently, it was really hard for Hitchcock to make Psycho.
Okay.
So they decided to put Anthony Hopkins in a fat suit and play Alfred Hitchcock.
All of us harbor dark recesses of violence and horror. I'm just a man hiding in the corner with a camera, watching.
Mr. Hitchcock, you're the most famous director in the history of the medium, but you're 60 years old. Shouldn't you just quit while you're ahead?
This is murder. I'm getting blisters just watching you.
He's going out of his mind looking for his next project.
I need something fresh. Something different.
It was the knife that, a moment later, cut off her scream and her head.
I love this trailer.
Can we find a new lead host, please? Why do we keep doing this to ourselves, Douglas?
Because we're the suckers for punishment.
God.
What do you guys not like about this trailer?
Andrew, I've seen this movie before. I did this to myself, you know, because I saw the trailer for this other movie that came out, and it was exactly like this one, and I said it's not going to be good, you know.
Is it the HBO one with Toby Jones?
I decided to watch it. The name of that movie was My Weekend with Marilyn. And that movie, while it wasn't bad, was only alright. This movie is the same exact thing. And guess what? I'm going to watch it again too. Why? Because it has people like Alfred Hitchcock and Helen Mirren. Whatever. It's going to be another bombastic, shitty, high and mightier than thou story about how Alfred Hitchcock moved the world in order to make his like a stupid movie. And guess what? At the end, I'm going to say, why did I watch that? The movie was just average.
All right. Not to say anything about the movie, because I don't know, it might be good, I don't know. The trailer is bad because it breaks the cardinal rule of all trailers. You're supposed to show me some of the movie. Some of it. Enough to get me, to entice me and to get me interested. What you're not supposed to do is show me everything in the movie. This trailer starts out by saying Alfred Hitchcock made a lot of great movies. He's the most famous actor in the world. He wants to make Psycho. The studio said no, but they'll do it if he puts up enough money. He mortgages his house. The movie is made. The MPAA or whatever it was at the time says it's not coming out. They find a way to get it to come out. And everything is alright in the end. The trailer even shows him and his wife walking off into what I guess is the sunset. This trailer is bad because it showed me something from every single part of the movie right up to the end. There will be nothing at all about this movie that would be surprising. Because I've now seen the trailer and I've now seen a 2.5 minute version of the entire movie. That is why this trailer is bad.
All right. Douglas brought up My Week with Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
If we take that, for example, saying we already know everything which is going to happen in it, but imagine for a second that the trailer we saw, while it told us everything that happened in the movie, would be There Will Be Blood, right? Do you walk out of that movie loving Daniel Day-Lewis's performance less? No, you still love the movie for that and for all of these elements. Trailers can be horrendous in what they sell, but at the same time, when they're selling the story of how a man made a movie, which we already know is made, and most people, I'm going to hope everyone on this podcast, loves that movie, how can you give any form of suspense to that?
I like that movie, that's true.
Andrew.
Vince Vaughn was really good in it.
I mean, Vince Vaughn is a piece. Andrew, we're not reviewing. Douglas was the one that said he's probably not going to like the movie. But we're not reviewing the movie. We're reviewing the trailer. And the trailer is bad. Right? My argument is not that the movie is not going to be good. I'm still going to watch the movie because of the same bias that forces me to watch most of the most movies. Right? But we have to talk about the trailer. I know you're excited to see the movie, Andrew. But the trailer is bad. Because the trailer does what we always ask trailers not to do. Which is tell the entire story. You can't tell me that everybody who saw Psycho knows the trials and tribulations that went through him making Psycho. I don't know it. Right? I don't know what kind of tribulations he went through to make Psycho. This movie's job was to get me excited about that. Not to tell me everything that happened in the movie. Right? The trailer is bad because it does what trailers aren't supposed to do. Please, Andrew, set aside the fact that you're going to watch the movie. Can you review the trailer for me?
Oh, man. I guess I agree with you in the fact that it does show a bit too much to that effect, but I still feel like that's a side effect to being the beginning of a story to which we already know the end.
Stop. The Hobbit trailers is the beginning of a story that we already know the end. What happens in the Hobbit movies, Andrew?
If I'm going by the trailer,
mm-hmm.
We already know how it ends, as you
yes.
say.
Yes, Frodo wins.
I know what happens in the movie.
Well,
it's Bilbo, by the way.
I read the book.
Bilbo
yes, that is what
gets
I'm
crashed
you
in by a bunch of dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on an adventure.
Right.
It
what happens in that adventure?
It involves
mm-hmm.
whatchamacallit, it's the big
Gandalf?
Things, the
oh,
trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Trolls, okay.
Okay.
Right? Which, first of all, we already know from the beginning of Lord of the Rings when he's telling the story to the children.
Mm. Okay.
It's like going
this.
To involve the
I
getting
like
of the ring.
That he's actually trying to do this.
And I'm sure there's a lot of other things that happen, but we don't need to know that. Damn
okay.
you, David, for making sense.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for that, though. Yeah, this trailer is terrible. I'm still going to watch it because...
But it got me excited, and that's why I like the trailer.
No. No. Knowing that the movie was coming out got you excited. Right? The trailer told you everything that is going to happen in the movie. I
and
now know...
Scarlett Johansson boobs.
If I want to see that, I have the internet. I now know everything that happened in the making of Psycho, and I haven't seen this movie. All I'm watching it now for is morbid curiosity. Because I won't learn anything.
To see if you're wrong. To see if there's something more.
I won't be wrong. And guarantee that. Douglas, I have a question for you now.
Yeah.
You've just reviewed this movie
yeah.
on 2.5 minutes.
Yes.
Using My Week with Marilyn
yes,
as the template.
Yes.
Now, while I don't like My Week with Marilyn, I don't love it. I enjoyed a couple of the performances. I kind of agree with the statement that you made earlier. I don't see the parallel between that and this. By that I mean, one is dealing with a famous figure
mm-hmm.
going to England and falling in love. In quotation. And the other is dealing with a man making a movie. How did you mesh the two of them together? I don't see the connection.
It's more in broader strokes, not the details. They're both about hugely famous real people that kind of are. What's the word? It's they're similar movies in the more general sense. The famous people that are real, the end product exists. You know, you have in Marilyn's world, you have her movie with Laurence Olivier. Olivier, am I right? No, I'm not. Laurence.
Of Arabia.
Shut up, whatever. You know Fish who bird. I mean.
You're an asshole. Oh my goodness, Damien.
Oh my goodness. All right.
And on the other hand, you have Hitchcock with his movie Psycho, right?
Yes.
Okay.
American Psycho.
Fuck you. And in both of them, there were a fair amount of trials and tribulations in terms of going from point A to point B, okay. Going from start to finish. All right. And it's kind of, both movies are kind of an analysis or a look at what you didn't see. This is the stuff that happened,
okay.
You know? And so, it's as you say, in the details, yes, right. It's different, but right. The broader
right.
Strokes.
Right, I was just trying to make sense of how you got them together. But yeah, now I guess... No, I'm worried because no, you might be right. This movie might be terrible, and it's not like I can use Helen Mirren as the mark and go, she doesn't come in shitty movies, because that's a lie.
That's
I know
a
it.
Big lie.
I know better.
Scarlett Johansson boobs.
Money in your pocket, your top hat on your head. And a hot meal on your table, and a blanket on your bed. For today's great skies, tomorrow's tears. We'll have to wait till yesterday's here. Well, I'm going to New York City, and I'm leaving on a train. And if you want to stay behind and wait till I get back again.
Once upon a time, there was a little princess, the most beautiful little princess in all the land.
Kinky sex, religion, a beauty queen, Mormon missionaries, kidnapped at gunpoint. There was something in that story for everyone. It was a perfect tabloid story.
When I met my crook, it was like in the movies. When Juliet looks at Romeo and it's pew.
She had fallen in love with him, become obsessed by him.
The next thing I know, he vanished into thin air. I found him in England. The Mormons had him.
Joyce set up this plan.
I knew there was only one way to get Kirk out of Mormonism, and that was to make love with him. Kirk and I went to this cottage. We made love for 3 days.
This week, Damien asked us to take a look into the story of Joyce McKinney and her tabloid life, as Errol Morris understood it. Damien.
Yes.
What did you think of this film? Tell the people what this is about, because I'm horrible at setting up.
So I spoke about this movie on the podcast, at least I think I spoke about this movie on the podcast once before, and I saw it again recently, and I'm not sure what my first opinion on the movie was, but I'm fairly positive it wasn't as strong as how I feel about the movie now. I love this movie. This movie is fantastic. It's one of the best documentaries I've seen in quite some time, since probably Restrepo. It's probably my favorite documentary. You go straight to hell, Douglas. The movie is about this lady, McKinney, who kidnaps this Mormon boy. McKinney is American. She flies to England, kidnaps this Mormon boy, takes him to some shack, bangs him for 3 days, and then releases him back into the wild. And the Mormon boy goes back to church. And the church and the boy says that she raped him. And they threw her in prison. Once in prison, there were, of course, the newspapers had to report on this. And once she was in prison, her legend became even greater. People started, you know, paying attention to this, and then the first trial was when it really got big. She went onto the stage and she told her side of the story, and it was so fantastical that everybody within earshot repeated the story over and over again until it became this phenomenon. Now, it wasn't like how it is now, where the media changes from story to story in like a heartbeat. As soon as they think a story is done, they move on. Nothing stays in the media for any period of time. This story dominated both British and American media. And the documentary tries to tell both that story and what happened after that story to this lady. And it is really good, because what the director did was, as best he could, just try to get out all the stories. He's not interested in what actually happened. That is not his job. And he makes that pretty clear, because he does a lot of embellishing to whenever anybody speaks. Of course, they're going to have the, you know, person staring directly at the camera and talking. No documentary can really escape that, except a small few. But they have those shots, but he kind of intercuts a lot of really cool things in them to, you know, keep you interested in the story, keep your eyes on the screen, so that, you know, there's something visual there and not just this face talking at you. But he doesn't try to go, this is the fact, that is the fact, all of this other thing is complete BS. He just gets as many parties to the stories as he can find and have them tell their version of the story. And he gets other people, because the gentleman refused to be interviewed for whatever reason. And so he had to kind of piece together what kind of happened to him. But that kind of helps the documentary, because it's not really about him as much. It's how the media, as the name of the movie is Tabloid, so it's how the tabloid media portrayed this woman and how that image ended up both helping and hurting her post this thing, because it was 3 days and then the prison sentence and then a lot of madness happened. Watching this movie again made me realize that this might be one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard. Right up to the end, just non-stop craziness, and you see where no party is, you know, without fault. All of them kind of acted like assholes in the situation, and it led to newspapers doing things that newspapers shouldn't do. There's one gentleman in particular, a photographer for one of the more what would you call the star? A shitty tabloid. I mean, tabloid already means bad. But what are the ones that always have boobs plastered on them? Whatever they call those. He was a photographer for one of them. And it is clear that A, he loves his job, because he loves putting, you know, scandalous articles in his paper. And B, that this guy is a, you know, like, weapons grade asshole. And he makes no qualms about it. He is like, they're asking him questions about, you know, the things that he did which helped to, like, ruin her life. And he's smiling about all of these things. Like, there's no remorse at all. He said, you know, he wished he had. At one point he says, all he wanted was to get, like, a nude photo of this woman. And what he ended up with was so much better. And he was, I mean, lit up like it was Chris. It was great. And you just go, alright, so let me get this straight. This girl is crazy. The guy she kidnapped is also crazy. Right? The church she involved with is mind-numbingly crazy. And then everything that happens since. One newspaper reporting that she's an angel. The other one that she's some whore. And on and on and on, and just more and more craziness heaped up on top of it. It's just such a fun watch. And it's not one of those documentaries that at the end of it, they try to, you know, tell you that, you know, because most documentaries have some grand point that they're trying to get to, you know, walking the tightrope in that movie is the greatest thing that any man can aspire to do. And Restrepo is war is hell. And what's the Dear Zachary is a horrendous piece of garbage. I don't think that's what the director is trying to go for. Never mind.
Damien,
but I love.
Let's keep on point here. Let's not descend to hating comments
I
about
love
some of the best documentaries out here. Because I can say some words about Restrepo.
I love this documentary because it feels like a fresh take on doing documentaries, and B, the story that it tells is so inherently ridiculous that you can't help but enjoy the story that is being told. It is complete craziness, and you can imagine if a story like that happened today, it would be in the news cycle maybe for a day. It would get that much airtime, and then some celebrity would die and you'd never hear about it again. But it's just fascinating to see just how infatuated the public was with this story in a time when, you know, people reported on a single story. There's that point where he says they're going to lead with pictures of this girl in the newspaper for an entire week. And I thought about that and I went, when Prince Charles' woman had her breast out, that was in the news recently for, I think, 3 days. And she's going to be the future queen of England. Right? And she, her breast got maybe 3 days of airtime, and then everybody went, yeah, this is boring. And moved on. The world doesn't have time for stories like that. Or any stories, for that matter. No matter how horrible, no matter how quirky, no matter how weird, everybody just gets the stories and then they move on. And so this documentary just did so many things that I kind of enjoy and wish more documentaries would do, try and find a fresh take on things and find really interesting stories, not just depressing stories about dolphins, people eating dolphins off the coast or some beach. That is depressing. Not about people destroying mountains for oil. I understand the world is in a bad way. Can I get some fun documentaries now? And that's what they did. I enjoy that. Andrew, what did you think about this documentary?
I quite loved this documentary. It was, as you say, a fun documentary. And Errol Morris is a director who I quite find interesting. I mean, the weirdest part is when I was done watching this movie, the most singular thought that I had was, if asking the question as to whether I believe Joyce's story or not, is the point of the film, or missing it completely? And based on what you're saying, it sounds very much like asking that question is completely irrelevant. Yeah. It's more about looking at the media side of things, which itself is quite interesting. But the funny bit for me was just kind of latching on to a lot of things that were said throughout the documentary. And I actually have a few things that I wrote down while I was watching the movie. When they're talking to Joyce and she starts to justify what she did, right? Because even though there's a gray area as to whether she kidnapped the guy or he was consensual and everything was good, she still says there was a point where she said she picked up a religious manual, sections of a religious manual,
yeah,
for young couples, start stating if sexual repression made a mate impotent, one should tie up the mate and make love.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's one thing when we hear the craziness about the Mormon religion, where they say, and I quote, if this person were to break their covenant, they would be unable to, quote, become a god and have his own planet.
Look, I used to be in the Mormon church, and I can tell you that they believe crazy shit. Right? Now, if there's people who listen to this podcast and take offense to what I've or anyone has said about the Mormon religion, including this show, what I'll say to you is all religion is crazy. Alright? Yours is just more openly crazy than the others. If you break down any religion, none of them really make any sense. So just relax. Just calm down. Okay, my sister was furious. The reason I'm saying this is because my sister was furious watching this because she's still active in the church.
Okay.
And so she's like, well, you know, they're misquoting some of the things and, you know, whatever. And I had to remind her that that is not the point of the documentary. They are not commenting on whether or not the religion makes sense. They're just telling the story from the side of the woman, and she thinks that they're a crazy cult. Nothing you say or believe is going to change that. She thinks they're a crazy cult, and she's trying to portray them in that light. And if you start pointing to some of the things that Mormons believe, makes it look very easy.
Alright? So I mean, all you really have to do for her is just ask her to logic out Scientology.
Right.
And she'll have the same decision. She'll have the same opinion.
Andrew, you cannot logic out any religion. They're based in faith.
No, I know. I know.
There's no logic anywhere.
I agree with you, sir. I agree with you.
Ridiculous. But it was fun. Like, just some of the craziness that is said in this documentary is... Oh, this is good. It's so good. Douglas, you look like you have some things to say.
About this, yeah.
About this documentary.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. I watched this thing and I thought that it was pretty decent. The one thing that I didn't like about it, though, mm-hmm. was that it relied a lot too much on all of those pull quotes, you know, that this movie is so amazing and I love this movie so much, and they made it all flashy and fancy, and it didn't really focus on what was happening in the movie. It was really just, you know,
scared your insert.
You
know.
Yeah, exactly. wait, hold on. Hmm? I get in. Wait, what's that? Wait, we're supposed to watch a movie?
Yeah.
Not the trailer?
No, not the trailer at all. This is the movie review.
This is the movie review, not the trailer review. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
But
I'm pretty sure.
But you need to specify that in your emails.
Douglas, you do realize that in the past 7 days, you've seen about 2 hours of media, and you waltz onto this podcast, right?
Unprepared.
No, unprepared is what people do for exams. You didn't even look at the book.
Damien. This is his revenge for you not watching his movie last week.
No. Douglas picked 3 movies, if you can recall. And I watched 2 out of the 3. I didn't get to the last one, and I have since watched the movie he asked us to watch. I did not talk about it, because Douglas is beside me, and I don't want to say to his face that movie is a pile of shit. It is a French pile of shit. Right? Even if I were 2 years old and had the IQ of a walnut, that movie would not. The flashing lights would have bored me. That is how bad that movie is.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on away.
Holy
let's
shit.
Take a moment away. Let's take a breath. Let's move away from the French. Let's move away. We're coming back to Pavlov now.
That was good.
Douglas, not even now. A cold day in hell is that movie. No, Douglas, you didn't. I don't know what you were on when you saw that movie. Douglas, I could you know, break down why you're wrong, but we talk about that movie last. All I'll say, defer to Andrew's, you know, review of the movie and just add about 50 more expletives while he's talking, and that is my review of the movie. And subtract 5 points. We don't even use our point system. But whatever Andrew's mark was, out of 5, subtract 5.
So let's coming back to Tabloid. Right, coming back to the good movie we want to talk about, Errol Morris made. Another movie Errol Morris made, which I talked about, like, I think a couple of months ago, called The Thin Blue Line, which is one of the more famous documentaries made. And throughout that movie, he had a lot of reenactments where people would sit down and talk about something having been done. And one of the more famous things has to do with a milkshake, where they keep referring to a milkshake, and then he keeps cutting to a reenactment of the milkshake falling over and such. And we see that a lot in documentaries, reenactments. In this film, however, whenever we're sitting down and we're talking to Joyce McKinney, and I thought for a long time it was only her he did this with, but I noticed after a while that it also happened with the guy from the paper that treated her as a nun. I can't, the examiner.
Yeah, right.
That where they would start talking about things. For example, she would talk about, oh, it's like on my honeymoon or whatever, and it would cut to, instead of a reenactment, a clip from some classic film or another, or which is almost it's not recognizable, but at the same time you notice that it's more than likely not something Errol Morris made. It's something that he took from like a stock 50s reel of a family walking down the street.
What the movies were, all those clips were from movies that she brought up in the interview. She brought up two movies specifically. There was one when she was talking about, you know, she believed that she was going to be a bride and a husband. And then she pointed specifically. She called a character name in a movie. And that is when he started. Because before it was just photographs that he used. And then the whole inserting scenes from other movies started once she brought up the fact that she and the guy were like, you know, this couple from this movie. I've never heard of the movie. And then he kept going back to the fact that, you know, that is how she saw herself. So whenever she spoke, he intercut her speaking with that movie. And then there was another movie that she brought up afterwards, and he started doing the same thing with that movie. So it's two specific movies. I don't remember the name of the movies. I've never seen them. But I know that it's two specific movies that she brought up that he started taking those clips from.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes a bit more sense. Because I was going down the line as to thinking the way it was done, it felt very much like he was trying to make her story that much more unreal by putting in these clips.
Right, but she's a lunatic, and so she thought that she was, you know, one of the characters from out of this movie, and so, yeah.
So, alright, I'm going to do something which we rarely do with when we're talking about these films. I'm going to bring up something that's completely outside of the movie itself.
We do that all the time, Andrew.
No, we don't. We're professional, aren't we?
Sure, sure.
Right. One of the big things surrounding this film,
she's Snow White, Douglas,
being the media, is that I remember last year when this movie came out, a lot of the reviews which talked about this movie and a lot of the podcasts that I listened to when they talked about this movie, immediately after which they started to talk about Joyce McKinney's constant hatred of the film, because she was open in contacting all of these critics and everyone who was talking about the movie to try and get her two cents in as to how Errol Morris quote-unquote poorly portrayed her and her story to make her look that much more crazy. And somehow coming into this movie with this knowledge, because this is the first time that I'm actually watching this movie, I'd kind of avoided it because of this. Coming to this movie with this knowledge of the fact that while it ends on the note where she says, I just want the media to leave me alone, but at the very same time she's actively seeking out the media about this film, it feels like it never wants me to trust her as a narrator. I know that's not the point of the movie, but it feels like something worth talking about when looking at this movie, when talking about her actual story. Because if all she can do is sit down on Google Alerts, and I don't know if she's still doing this, and we're going to get a ridiculous response on this podcast.
Get ready, Andrew.
Get ready. Just sit down on Google Alerts and go, Errol Morris is a horrible troll and he's fucked up my life even more than the tabloids did back in the 70s. Does this affect your view of the film, Damien?
No, not even a little bit. She saying that, you know, Errol Morris... misrepresented her in the movie is what she's been saying about every media outlet since forever. You know, she wants everyone to believe her story that, you know, they fell in love, the church kidnapped him and brainwashed him, she had sex to remove the brainwashing, then let him go, and they brainwashed him again. And, you know, they had her thrown in prison or whatever, right? Where the truth lies somewhere in between what he said and what she said, but she only wants her side of the story to be, you know, accepted as fact. And nobody's willing to do that because there's this thing called evidence that supports some other things that she says. And, you know, nothing that we think or what. The director, I mean, all the director was trying to do was show, you know, just how ridiculous this story was and how it dominated, you know, the media for so long, and how, you know, these tabloids, these competing tabloids, you know, portrayed two sides of her and how it led to her, you know, fame and, you know, made her in the end infamous. And then even now at the end of her life, it's still kind of affecting her, which, you know, it's kind of sad to see that something that you did that long ago would still affect your life now. But that's how the world works. If you get in the media for any reason, and if anyone is willing to pay attention, people will use whatever the perception they have of you, you know, and they'll write whatever stories or treat you in a certain way because of it. That's just how the world works. And she became so famous that she got to meet movie stars and stuff like that. So she cannot say with one side, you know, this was terrible what the media did to me, and then go out in public and, you know, embrace the fact that she was really famous for that time. You just can't have it both ways. You can't be in the spotlight and then go, well, you know, the spotlight was too bright at the end of the day. It just doesn't work like that. Plus, Andrew, it is clear that this woman is crazy. She's a crazy person. So,
oh man.
I just wish that our third host,
the intern,
a man formerly known as Douglas Robinson,
had something to say.
Had something, you know. Because Douglas always has choice quotes, you know. Douglas is the glue that makes all reviews better, right? He takes the nonsense that I say and that Andrew says, and then wades through that nonsense and talks out the gems. But Douglas won't be doing that for us tonight.
Nope.
Because Douglas walked into this podcast knowing nothing.
Yep. Yep, that is correct.
Watching what might be the worst movie of the year. And sitting down and pretending as if, yeah, this can't work. I'll be able to BS my way through this podcast.
Like, I don't do that all the time.
Yeah, but at least sometimes you have something poignant to say about something that we're watching. So Andrew and I love this movie. And Douglas
loves it. All right. I had one more question.
Yes.
That I wanted to ask of this film.
Sure.
The film is basically about the tabloid story.
Mm-hmm.
However, at around the hour mark, not so little, the 70-minute mark or however long, it stops being a tabloid story because the story, as all stories, runs out. It lapses. No one cares anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumps to dog cloning.
Right. And Douglas looks on in shock and amazement. Dog cloning? Did he just say dog? Yes, Douglas. He just said dog cloning.
Why the hell does this fit at all? I mean, it does come into the whole sense of the media focus because it brings her back into the focus.
Right.
But at the same time, it felt so random.
Right, but Andrew, the only reason that that part was in the movie was to show that even 30 years on, how everybody wrote the story wasn't that this nice old lady who was attacked by a dog now wants the dog that saved her life cloned. No one wrote the story like that. The second everybody realized who this lady was, that is what they led with. Because writing a story about dog cloning is all well and good, but two people are going to read that story. Writing a story about a crazy woman that kidnapped somebody and held him as a sex slave, who now 30 years on is cloning dogs, that is a story that everyone would pay attention to. Douglas wants to read this. Douglas can't wait to watch the movie now. Now that he knows just how crazy this movie gets. This is the craziest story I've
ever
heard.
What you have to do is you have to think about your utopian French film that you want to watch,
mm-hmm.
that you think you pick each week.
Yeah.
And put it in documentary format without subtitles, and that's what this movie
is. Yeah, this movie is crazy. This is the greatest story since the Bible. So good. The story is great. Right? And the thing I love most about the story is that there's nothing about the story that matches up with any form of reality that you know. Right? Everything that happened in this entire story makes no sense. Like, you kind of doubt that anything that is being said actually happened.
Oh no, you doubt it from all the get-go. Because when the movie starts, she talks about, how I met this wonderful man. Mm. And then she describes him as, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Awesome. And then it cuts immediately to the journalist going, yeah, he was a fat guy with glasses, right. And he was kind of horrible looking.
When you see the pictures of him, you go, this woman is crazy, isn't she? And she proves, My favorite part was when they interviewed the Korean scientists. Douglas, they are Korean scientists in this movie. It is great. It's just fantastic. This story is... even if the director didn't do his best, to keep you engaged the entire time, I'm pretty sure just sitting the people down, having them stare at the camera and them telling this crazy story would have made for a decent documentary. But it's the little things that he did that turns it from just another decent documentary into just something special. And Douglas, I'm sad that you haven't seen it. I don't know whether or not to hope that you're going to see it because you're really bad.
I am.
You're really bad at this, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You keep blaming other people for this, but I know how time works. And I know how many hours for the day you supposedly work. And there's enough time for you to watch movies. No matter how you try to convince me otherwise, you're lying both to yourself and to me. Stop
so Douglas,
watching garbage.
When we get these movies on Blu-ray and DVD, right? They nowadays they usually give you the digital copy. You can just drop it on your phone. Like, pretend you're working.
It doesn't work like that. Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Any other, you know, advice, Andrew? How to get fired by Andrew Robinson.
Exactly, right? I mean, it would be one thing if, you know, I had places I could hide. I sit literally, right, in the trading room, which is essentially one long table,
mm-hmm.
and I have like a section of it.
Is it like margin call?
Kind of. And then right behind me is a wall, and then behind that is where all of the customers come in and sit down. Well, the wall, I should say, is made of glass that people can see through right at me. And I'm behind them. So anything that's on my computer screen, if I was to go like this, I know you can't see me, Andrew, but if I was to actually view the phone with the movie on it, somebody behind me would be able to see me doing that.
So just keep the phone right here in your belly. Just get a belly stand. Kickstart that. Someone will make it. Right? And then you can pretend you're typing away, staring at numbers. And be watching movies. Thanks for that choice piece of advice there, Andrew.
Getting You're fa- welcome,
this
Damien.
This has been another episode of Getting Fired with Andrew Robinson.
Well, at least it's... Oh, hold on, though. At least it's better than what I thought he was going to say. Because when he started saying mm-hmm. that I should put it on the phone, immediately I thought he was going to say, and on your way back, on your way to work and on your way from work, you can watch it. And then I was going to say, Andrew, I drive to work. That would be a different TV show. That would be Andrew Presents How to Die Very Quickly.
You have to drive on Jamaican roads, which I don't know if you've seen them. They aren't A straight or B well kept.
C well driven on.
And then there's taxi men to worry about.
So how to kill Damien in the process when you run into a taxi man?
I work in the night. I'll be fine. I'll hear about Douglas in other news. In other news, stupid man watches TV while car careens off cliff. Details at 11.
You know what?
No. That's the headline on the Sun.
That's fantastic. I mean, the movie distracts me so much that I drive far enough to get to a cliff. Yep.
This movie's great. Wait, what's that? Is that water? Shit, where did this cliff come from?
Okay, so we're all in agreement. Douglas as well. He's going to trust us and say this movie is fantastic. Are you going
Douglas
to trust us,
disagrees.
Douglas?
It's 2-1. The movie's still awesome. Tomp says this movie is awesome.
So that was the podcast, as it usually is.
He doesn't sound certain.
He also doesn't sound satisfied. Right. He sounds like... I guess we're finished. Yes. Did we really do what? No, I don't think we did what we're supposed to do. But
this
Douglas didn't talk about
like,
the movie.
He feels like he's disappointed with today's podcast.
Right. Podcast. Well, to be fair, we only saw between us one movie, and two out of the three of us reviewed the other movie that we saw. So if we're just looking at the stats, this has been a pretty bad podcast.
This is true.
So yeah, that's as I said, the podcast. You know we're all on Twitter. Douglas is DJR, lost his name. Damien is Damien_White with a Y. I'm G-Man Reviews. I was about to say Andrew Robinson, but I realize that's not my Twitter handle.
Y-O-N.
Oh, man. You can find the podcast over at gmanreviews.com. We're also on iTunes. Go and review and rate us. That'd be fun, you know.
Do we get any reviews or ratings?
We have, but not for a very long time.
So just the one.
Oh, thanks for letting everyone know.
I still know many people actually listen to this.
So thanks for listening and good night.
One burn, one sky, one beer. I say, hey, Mr. Watson, come here. Only now, the girl she gone, she been gone tonight. I ain't seen the girl since I got a full ass. Wanna get drunk and get her on my mind. One bourbon, one sky, one beer.